to meet the folks that pray for us. So thank you, thank you, thank you for praying for us. I know you've been praying for us while we were in Cairns and then afterwards and then in Mauritius for like 8 months. And we so do appreciate your prayers. It's hard to know what to share, so I'll try and share it as briefly as I can. But as you know, back in Sydney, we were freezing, literally. And we were in a world of confusion for a little while, wondering why God has brought us back, what his purpose for us was for the future. Your pastor was a great blessing when he came to visit Sydney and encouraged me that the Lord has something, and just to keep your eyes on the Lord. And by God's grace, we did. One Sunday, a missionary came to visit our church, and I was praying for some opportunities, some ministry opportunities on the east coast of Australia that I had been asked to pray for. Not sure what the Lord's will was. And as the missionary visited, before he preached, the prayer letter from Francois Sorel and family was read out. And that letter was one that you might remember, where all the areas of his body were detailed where the cancer had spread. And that was a very heartbreaking email letter to read out, to hear. And certainly we were stirred and burdened for the family. And then he asked in that letter if someone would pray about coming to Mauritius to look after the work for a season while they were here in Australia. And then the missionary preached on the prayer of Jabez, but of all things. And he challenged us to not limit God to the coasts or the boundaries that we limit him to, and when he may have something much bigger and broader. So I thought to myself, oh no, here I am praying for something on the east coast, but maybe the Lord has a different coast altogether. And by the end of the message, my wife and I both agreed that God had spoken to us. So we continued to pray, and over the next few weeks, godly counsel involved, God made it very clear that he wanted us to go to Mauritius for a time to minister to the folks there. So we were incredibly privileged. We'd never been on a mission trip before, if you can imagine. We had not spoken a word of French, other than bonjour or something like that. And so we were entirely going by faith. But that's an exciting thing. As you know, if it's God's will, then he will do the miraculous. And that's what he certainly did. It's a miracle in such a dark, pagan, oppressed land, spiritually, that there is a beautiful local New Testament Bible-believing church that the Sorets have planted by God's grace. So that was the greatest encouragement. As you see on the video, Mauritius is a beautiful island, spectacular. What God has made is spectacular. What man has made is disastrous. And Hinduism is the majority religion on the island. 49% claim to be Hindus. So as you know, Hinduism is the most visibly demonic religion in the world, I believe. If you look at the idols they worship, they literally look like demons. And people who are Hindus, they worship them out of fear, not godly fear. Not reverence, but a real fear. And they're horrified about what would happen to their families if they stopped worshipping these idols. What would come, the effects of that. So they're really in bondage to the blindness that Satan has blinded them off. And what we found, though, is because people are religious, and so religious, they're willing to talk about religion. So that opens the door for the gospel. But please remember that though they're happy to talk, and they'll talk with you for hours, they'll sit with you, they'll invite you to sit down, even the Catholics and the Muslims there, behind their friendliness is the wall of religion, the stronghold of religion. So we would like you to pray for us that not only would people listen and talk, but that they would be open to hear the truth. Respond. Many are fearful to come to church because they may be seen by family and friends. They can't afford to buy houses for themselves, so they live in multiple level houses. Grandparents, parents, grandchildren on the top, and so you can imagine what it's like when one of them wants to know about Christianity. Imagine the persecution they face. All the pressure of losing their inheritance, losing their family, everything they have. So that's not unique, of course, to Mauritius. Many cultures are like that. That might give you an idea to help you to pray. Thankfully, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we know that God does the miraculous. Now, we saw that in Mauritius. We could only stay for 6 months on a tourist visa at first. And we saw a lady saved at the markets. St. Gita was listening to my wife and helper who went to the markets every week to do grocery shopping. And it was exciting because the helper we had wasn't saved. And she came 3 days a week to where we were living and assisted my wife in many things. And she translated what my wife was witnessing and saying to the market stall owners. St. Gita was increasingly open. About 5 months of witnessing took place before St. Gita said, "I want to become a Christian." So a lady in the church went with my wife, and a few hours later she realized and admitted that her gods are not gods. Her gods are just idols. So that's the key, isn't it? Especially with Hindus. They have to admit that their gods are not gods. That they are idols. She wanted to pray and she wanted to receive Christ. So you see St. Gita on the video. And to us, we were just overjoyed that God would allow us to see someone saved. We love to minister to the church family there. They're very, very close-knit church family. Pray for them. As you can imagine, seeing the pastor that they love, the pastor's wife, and all the children, all five of the children suddenly have to leave. It was heartbreaking for them, especially because of Francois's cancer, not knowing whether they would see him again. And so so they needed to pray for Truth Baptist Church. And they were a blessing to us. We got to go out song winning and together with them and minister with them. And one young lady, another highlight, came from France to Mauritius. She was Mauritian. She came to see her mum, who was dying of cancer in hospital. And she, Nadine, wanted to be baptized. So she was already a Christian, and we got to baptize her, which was a very special privilege, and probably the most beautiful location for a baptism in the world, in the crystal clear tropical waters of the Indian Ocean. But what was much more special was that Nadine witnessed her mom. And she said, "Please, can you come visit my mom?" And thankfully, there's another church of like faith on the island, planted by an American missionary, and now a national pastor's it. And his name is Guy Grenard. What a name. It reads Guy Grenard. And he's a tough fella, as his name sounds, and a wonderful preacher. And he came and witnessed to Nadine's mom, and Nadine's mom received Christ as her savior just before she died. So our cup was full after 6 months. We were packing our bags. Cindy, my wife, was buying souvenirs in the markets. I was at the park with our kids, as dads do when mum shopping. Amen. And better than me at the markets. Anyway, so the kids were having a ball climbing up one of those huge climbing nets. They had a pirate ship there, kids. Big pirate ship, big climbing net. Were very excited. You know, they don't have the safety standards there that they do here. So the ground wasn't this rubber safe flooring as we have today. It was kind of rocks and pebbles and things like that. And the moment I turned my back, Jeremy fell, as you probably heard in our prayer letter. And thankfully, he didn't break anything. He wasn't winded. He didn't have concussion, but he had a deep gash on the back of his head that was bleeding profusely. Thankfully, there was some security guards nearby because it was in the, I guess, the waterfront area of the capital city. They quickly brought a first aid kit. That was a miracle. Bandaged his head up, and they called a taxi cab. By the time the taxi cab arrived, my wife and ran across a six-lane freeway texting the Surettes, or someone in the church actually, what was going on, only ladies can do that. And she arrived, but I mention that because the next miracle was when we were in the taxi cab, headed to the public hospital, Francois Surette internet phone called me and said, whatever you do, don't go to the public hospital. He said, that's the place not to go. And he said, you need to go over here. So thank the Lord. And we began to see in the midst of this crisis the Lord at work through every step. And of course, Jeremy was starting to get dizzy. He was starting to not be himself. We were increasingly concerned. When we got to the hospital, he couldn't stand still for the x-ray, started to vomit. Things weren't looking good. And thankfully, they ultimately decided to scan him in an MRI scanner. And that was the only hospital on the island with an MRI scanner. So the Lord led us there again. Of course, we were shocked when we heard that he, in fact, sustained a fractured skull. And that's when my world turned upside down. And we were about to leave. You know, I didn't do any research regarding our travel insurance or hospitals on the island. We didn't have a clue whether there was a neurosurgeon on the island. My sister-in-law, who's a doctor, called us, and she said, look, if they don't have a neurosurgeon, you need to fly back to Australia. So all of these thoughts were going through my mind. What was going to happen to Jeremy? One doctor said, it's good news. The other doctor says, it's horrible news. So we had conflicting reports, and the language, of course, was foreign to us. So, you know, it's at those times of crises that I think the Lord allows you to see what little faith we really have and how much we need. But I think my faith was at the lowest. I was panicking, worrying as a dad, and thinking the worst at times. And so they checked us into the ICU waiting room. And then the next miracle was that the best neurosurgeon on the island arrived within the hour. And he was a Hindu man, and we got to pray with him before the surgery. He said he'll do his best. We saw the scans again, it didn't look good, Jeremy's brain was completely pushed in, and he didn't know the severity. So off they went with our son in their arms, screaming, crying. We were crying, and that's, well, in the ICU waiting room, that's when we make that hard choice, which was to hand our son over to the Lord. And we never had to do that, I think, in that way. But the Lord allowed that to happen so that we could experience the promise of a peace that passes all understanding. So as we prayed in that way, God gave us a supernatural peace, which I did not have. And far from it, as we prayed, we realized that God was in control, that his will was being unfolded for us, no matter how we felt about it, and that Jeremy was in God's hands. And so as we prayed there, the Lord was listening, but others were listening too. There was a Muslim family, very apparently Muslim, because they were wearing all their Muslim outfits, there, and they were waiting for a loved one in the ICU waiting room. They were listening on, and when I stepped out of the room, one of the ladies sat next to my wife and was talking with her. By the time I came into the room, she'd shared with my wife that she just had to come over to say hello. She said, you know, I was listening to you praying. And she said, you know, those are the kind of prayers we expect Muslims to pray. And she in fact said, your prayers put us to shame. I didn't notice they waiting room. I guess they have a special room that separates men and women. They don't pray openly and publicly like that. So she was very taken back. So we quickly shared the gospel with her, shared with her why we have such confidence in prayer. Not because we are confident, but because we have a God in whom we can place him. And we can come boldly before his throne because he's the one true Lord Jesus Christ is his name. And So we got to share the gospel with her family. That was really the moment that we realized that maybe the Lord had us in that hospital more than one reason than Jeremy. And so then the report came back, which was the next miracle, that there was no damage to the brain. So thank you for the church family. The neurosurgeon was very pleased with the outcome. He said he managed to put the skull back in position, take out any blood clots, and he said the brain came back into position. I almost fainted when I heard that. He said, so everything will be fine. Good news. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're praying, as you can see, Jeremy's back to being a normal boy. And the doctors continue to confirm that there's no side effects, that nothing will impact his brain or skull in the future. And it healed up well. Well, the Lord took us into that hospital for a reason, because time and time again, people were coming and seeing us, nurses, doctors, food attendants, and we had opportunities to share the gospel. One lady even rushed in and closed the door and said, can you please pray for me? And she just saw us as perhaps someone to come to for prayer. And as people were asking us, why do you have such peace? How can we have that peace? As my wife shared to the ladies last night, that it's amazing how people are watching us, and how deep this dark is trials. And how often we forget that the trials are actually often not for us, but for others to see Christ in us. I'm thankful God gave us the grace to show Christ in us as we lean on Him. And we left the hospital with so many contacts, we were wondering, Lord, why have you kept us here? Then we received a 2-month extension from the immigration department to stay in Mauritius. So we said, Lord, you definitely kept us here. And our visit with the Surettes, who were there at the same time, those 2 months overlapped. And so God brought these things together, ultimately to show us what His will was. We prayed, we sought the Lord. In Psalm 65, if you don't mind me sharing, one of the scriptures the Lord used to speak to us regarding coming to Mauritius. Obviously, we had a burden for the people, as we should, in any mission field we go to. We ought to come back with the burden. But that doesn't necessarily constitute God's call. And we were praying, asking the Lord what His will was. Psalm 65 and verse 5, Psalmist said, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God, thou salvation. So certainly God got our attention with Jeremy. Now the word terrible doesn't mean the way we use that word. Obviously God's work is beyond our understanding. It is terribly great. It is terribly high and holy. And the way God works in our life, we have to be careful to not miss it. And then I read the rest of the scriptures, and then the verse says the rest, as you can see, who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far upon the sea. So God gave us the confidence that if we were to surrender to His calling, we can trust in Him in this faraway place, and know that He is with us. And so through the scriptures, God confirmed His will. We were able to share that with the Surettes and then with the church family before we left, who were rejoicing that we returned as full-time missionaries. So we do thank you for your prayers over these years, and we do so much covet your prayers for the years to come. We're on the road. We've asked the Lord if we can return in April, May this year. So that is our goal. Please pray for that desire. And we have submitted our visa to the immigration department. The first stage has been approved, which was the health clearance. And then the second stage, which is the paperwork, is under pending approval. So please pray. That's the most important stage, because we're applying for a religious workers visa. So it's out in the open. Why are we coming? And if you can, that's the best way to apply, because then we can freely serve the Lord, preach the gospel, and they know why. So please pray that the openness in the government will allow an openness for Christians. So But we must pray. So please pray. On the video, I keep mentioning it, you're probably wondering when I'm going to play it. At the end, you'll see lots of photos of people we met. These are not just selfies that we took for fun, put in a video. These are real souls who have asked us questions that we are following up, even here in Australia. And ones we've shared the gospel with a number of times and who want to know more. So please pray for them. One particular lady, last photo in the series, Wendy, she's particularly special. She was a lady we met with her family when we were out for a family day. And if you bear with me, I'll just share this quick testimony. She listened to the gospel. My wife was witnessing to her. And comes from a Catholic background and also lots of Hindu mysticism. She realized that was all wrong. And she heard the gospel. She became very interested. And she came to a ladies' meeting, and then she brought her whole family to our last service there. And some other relatives too. Then she even made the effort to meet us at the airport. With her son. She rode her bicycle there, and she actually worked at the airport as an immigration officer. And so she got to see us right up until we caught the plane, and hugged us and embraced us, and again, we were just overwhelmed how God had knit her heart to us. That very day, unbeknownst to Wendy, she broke a rule in the security department. She lost her job. So after we flew back to Australia, we didn't know. She plunged into a great, deep, dark level of depression. You know, if you've got a good job in Mauritius, you don't want to lose it. And they demoted her to a local police department. And she was, in fact, planning to attempt suicide before a lady in the church called her, encouraged her, and the local pastor there met with her and her husband, and they began some Salvation Bible studies. She visited the church with her husband, and the Sorettes were there recently. So please do pray for Wendy and Miguel. And that's just one little story among many. Now the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Yeah.
But that's what Satan is seeking to do right now.
Yeah.
But the Lord said, I have come. That they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. So please pray the Lord would use us and that we'd see many souls saved.
Yeah.
Some of those who've seen the video. If you have any questions, please let us know. I have left prayer cards back at the Johnson. So I'll give a heap of these prayer cards to your pastor before we leave. And he can hand them to you on Sunday. Please take one and pray for us. A little bit of info about Mauritius. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us. Well, there's so much to say, and I wish I could share more, but let me quickly say we're not going to Mauritius to replace the Sorettes. We don't know how the Lord will lead them. Of course, our greatest delight would be that they could return and we could work together. But that's in the Lord's hands, and we still go. Our plan is to minister at the church that they planted, the Truth Baptist Church, and to serve the Lord either together with them or on their behalf. So we appreciate your prayers.